We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
Okay, very happy to bring on to the podcast now, Christy Ackert covers the Yankees for the New York Daily News. Christy, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Four games into the season. I always find it funny early in the year. They win opening day, win the next day. This team's going to the World Series. Couple of bad losses. Offense doesn't perform, and Cashman needs to be fired. So the swings of emotion in early April are always entertaining.
I think those swings are... Well, they're very severe early in the season, but they're pretty normal. They happen in August and September, too.
Yes. Yeah, I guess it's just more noticeable early in the season, for me anyway, versus game 97 or whatever it is. But after the first few games, anything stand out to you? Any surprises?
I guess I was a little surprised by Gerrit Cole in the first game. I'm also a little surprised by the offense. They really haven't been the power offense that they were expected to be, which is kind of similar to last year. So
yep,
that kind of surprised me after you went and made such a big deal about making changes to your offense. Again, it's four games, so who knows?
Yeah, I think people see all the base runners that were left, especially Sunday night and early in the game on Monday, and people are freaking out because that's why the offense struggled last season specifically. I'm going to withhold judgment on the offense until we have more than four games of data. However, I do agree with you. Cole's performance on opening day is worrisome just from the sense that he struggled last year so much against the Red Sox, struggled against the top AL East teams last year. And especially after the sticky stuff ban, not that he was bad after that, he just wasn't as dominant. And I don't see how this team wins a championship unless Gerrit Cole is dominant. And if he's just very, very good, I don't know if that's what they're paying him all the money for.
Agreed. And I don't think we really know what he is yet. I think his next start will be incredibly interesting. You know, the Blue Jays is not a lineup you can mess around with. So I guess we'll get to see a pretty good test of if it was just a bad day or it was something else.
Right. And I think, you know, the fact that he had something to say about the opening first pitch taking too long and that sort of thing. It's like, I don't really need to hear that from the ace on opening day. Like, you're starting opening day, expect there to be a delay. There's going to be a little bit something extra just because it's opening day. Suck it up. That's my mentality, but I guess it's easier said than done.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's kind of the responsibility of the ace, isn't it? I mean, to handle those things and go out and shove. And that it got to him is a little a little strange. I mean, you know what? There's a lot of delays before World Series games, too. So deal with it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think the one interesting thing early in the season that has actually gotten a lot of talk on the broadcast is the PitchCom technology that they're using. do you think, I mean, I got a few questions about this, but do you think, I know Higgy talked after the games about how he's still getting used to it. Do you think there was any disruption there for Cole and just sort of different going into the first inning and a few different factors?
I don't think he had used it in the spring. The Yankees were quick adapters, but they were late adapters. Like Higgy, I talked to Higgy probably 2 weeks into spring training. He's like, yeah, I don't think I want to use it. They hadn't even showed it to them until the last week of spring training. So I don't think Cole had used it in that kind of situation. Also, I was talking to Matt Blake, and the issue that he was having and that they were having the first day is sometimes when the crowd got too loud. It wasn't the crowd necessarily, is that awful dying whale sound that they have with two strikes. They could hear over that. So that was part of the problem. I'm a big fan of PitchCom. I thought it was really fascinating. And tonight's starter, Nestor Cortez, is a huge fan of it. So I think he's going to have to adapt to that. I think the dying whale sounds a little quieter now, but I'm not really sure. So maybe it could go away.
You're not a fan of all the sounds coming out of the Yankee soundboard at Yankee Stadium?
That one in particular just really is like nails on a chalkboard for some reason. It just sounds awful.
I think during the 2020 season when there was no fans in the stands, they had to pump in a lot more extra sound. And I feel like they haven't fully moved away from a lot of those sounds over the past year. I don't know. I sometimes question the crowd noise coming because you look and there's 40% capacity. Reported a sellout and it sounds like game 7 of the World Series. So sometimes I'm like, okay.
There were a lot of empty seats the last few days. I will say that. Yeah.
It's April. The weather so far hasn't been great. Yeah. I think we're going to get warmer weather later in the week, but this happens every year. Opening day sells out and then the next couple days are lighter crowds. But why do you think the Yankees all of a sudden decided, yeah, we're using this for opening day after not using it all spring?
I think there is so much benefit to it. I mean, they kind of threw it on Severino in his last spring training start. And once they use it, the pitchers seem to be like all on board. Like Nestor Cortez was the first to use it. And well, he used it to save David Severino. And he told me, like, he's got so many pitches that, you know, you have to go through all these signs and it takes a long time. He's like, now I can just hear it, catch the ball and throw. I think they like the pace of it. I mean, obviously they like the intention of it is that your signs can't get stolen.
Sure.
Unless somebody comes up with a way to hack it, which I'm sure they will try. But they like it because I think it speeds things up. I think as they grow more confident in the ability to not be hacked, they will like it a lot more. I think it's interesting. I think it's a great development. I think it could maybe change the pace of play a little bit.
I think that would be a nice benefit of it, not just the fact that you're reducing sign stealing, but quicker pace. I think I have noticed that in some pitchers, others. I mean, I think the game's still, we're all over, well over 3 hours so far, but But I have noticed some pitchers at least seemingly working faster from it. And I think that that'd be a fantastic benefit because that's one of the biggest issues facing the sport, I think. Severino had, it was weird. He threw back to second base like on three separate occasions when no Glaber wasn't even covering the bag. And I was just sort of thinking, like, I know he's had pitch tipping history, especially with the Red Sox back in the playoffs in 2018. And there was a runner on second base. I'm just wondering if he's maybe paranoid about the runner giving away location, or if, like you said, he couldn't quite hear the signal. And so he just wanted to sort of get a reset, step off the mound, throw it a second. Did you read into that at all?
I'm trying to remember it. And it was a few games ago. But he did say he had some issues with it. So, and at one point he lost it. Like it wasn't in his hat when he thought it was in his hat. So there was that issue. Oh,
like the
too.
Actual device? Like the device itself?
Yeah, it's just a little thing that slides into the hat. And yeah. I guess it's easy to lose. So that'll be the next. You know what? I just thought of the next scandal. Somebody will steal someone else's receiver that is dropped on the field.
Absolutely. There we go. Absolutely. Did that happen with the Rays? Kiermaier like picked up, didn't he pick up like a
card? Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a freak out. I forget what team it was. Was it the Blue Jays maybe? I forget the exact scenario.
Was it the Astros?
It might have been. I don't think it was the Astros.
But I remember that. Yeah, that was a big deal.
You are right, though. There's going to be some shenanigans with the PitchCom technology. I feel like this has been talked about, why the Yankees are one of the only teams using it, some teams aren't able to use it. Is that true? Or could everyone use it today if they wanted to?
Oh, everyone could use it. They were sent to every team in spring training. Every team got to try it. I think there's 15 teams using it. But every team can use it if they want. The Red Sox, I heard Kike Hernandez on the broadcast saying that they didn't use it because they had a hard time hearing it. But the Blue Jays used it when the Yankees played them in spring training. They seem to really like it. So anybody can use it.
Yeah. Well, I also thought it was interesting that it's not just the pitcher and catcher using it. It's the mm-hmm. position players too, which can give some different defensive jumps to them if they know mm-hmm. an outside pitcher and inside pitch is coming. Higgy had something to say. I think Ken Rosenthal said this on the FS1 broadcast, that Higgy forgot to switch up whether it was a lefty or a righty batter. So it's like you call an inside fastball to what Cole was thinking it's to the lefty, but he was actually calling it to the righty. So the fastball was on the wrong side of the plate. I don't think that was the reason Cole gave up anything.
No.
But it's those sort of learning curves that they're all going to have to go through.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to become a lot more natural for them. You know, I'm fascinated by, how do you do it with all the relievers? Like, how is it programmed for different pitchers, you know? But they're learning as they go, and they seem to be like really fast, quick converts to the whole system. So they've seemed to work it out. I think there's like 27 permutations you can do with it. So they're able to set it up. And Blake was telling me that they're changing like the maps of all the pitchers so that they're all, so that the catcher doesn't have to like change too much from pitcher to pitcher now. And they're really kind of working with it. So I think you're going to see a lot of different changes as the season goes on, and they're going to get better with it.
When you say changing the map, just like having to input different codes or something?
I think what it is I think they're changing the way every pitcher talks about where they want things and stuff. Like every pitcher has their own language.
Right.
And now they're trying to make it uniform so that it just goes to the receiver or to the wristband, or I guess they're using it on their knee pads, their shin pads. But I think they're just trying to make everything uniform so they can use it all the same during the game.
Yeah, you are totally right, though. I'm just waiting for the first instance of an opposing team accusing the home team of hacking into the frequency, and they're getting some sort of feedback or something like that. Like, that's going to be the first big scandal to break with this.
Yeah, it was interesting because during like the playoffs, you see there's a guy from MLB that goes around and he checks all the radio frequencies because like Sirius XM on the field, MLB right. Network's on the field, different TVs, and they all have to have like different frequencies. So I imagine that we're going to see that guy now all the time, you know, checking right. frequencies and checking security of the broadcast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
There's in football, because obviously that's how they're relaying signals to players on the field, to the mm-hmm. the defense and the offense. The Pittsburgh Steelers have on a number of occasions accused the Patriots of like hacking into their broadcast. And I think there was one time where Tomlin said that he heard the Patriots radio broadcast in his headset instead of the calls or whatever. So I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I'm just waiting for like John and Susan to be piped into like the opposing team's.
Yeah, you're gonna get jammed by John Sterling. That'd be funny.
We talked briefly on Severino, and I know you wrote something on him the other day. I don't think it's, you know, too crazy to say he's an X factor in this rotation, because if he can turn back into a number one type pitcher behind Cole, that totally changes the dynamic. But he said he feels he's a better pitcher now than he was before all the injury complications. You want to just talk about a little bit what he meant by that?
Well, I think he's in better shape. I mean, I think he told me, like, I could show up at the gym and, you know, take me 5 minutes and I'd go out and pitch. But I think he's taken, you know, his lifestyle into account. He's a bigger man. If you just look at him, his shoulders are a lot bigger than they were. But he also has started throwing his changeup more. I think he's learning. I think a lot of young pitchers come up and they can throw hard. He's learning to pitch, and he's learned a lot about pitching in the time that he's kind of been away from it. And I think it makes him probably a better pitcher. And now that you're starting to see the stuff come back with it, he could be one of the deciding factors for them this year if he's who he thinks he can be.
Yeah, of course. If he turns back into 2018 Severino, of course he could be. I'm wondering what sort of innings cap he might run into. I know they've talked about maybe 120, 130 innings, but I'd be really curious if he's pitching well and it's August and he's nearing that innings cap, are they going to just let him go? Because they've tried to, you know, play these things safe in the past, and it seems to never work out for them.
I don't think this is a year to play safe.
No.
I mean, honestly, this is, you know, I think this is a year where you're starting to see the window, if not starting to close, closing. You've got Judge. Do you have him next year? We don't know. You've put this money into Garrett Cole. This is a year you're not going to play it that safe. So I could see them pushing back on him a little bit in August and July to have him down the stretch. I could see them piggybacking him. I could see them actually using him out of the bullpen to try and kind of manage the workload, but keep him fresh, and then using him in the playoffs.
Someone else is going to have to step up in that rotation. Tyon had a nice start on Monday against the Blue Jays. I know Cortez is going tonight. He was great last year, but he's still unproven largely. But they're still going to need someone else, especially if Severino, like you said, is going to be maybe pitching out of the bullpen temporarily. Someone's going to have to step up from those depth options since they didn't add anyone. I mean, of course, they could at the deadline, but as the roster stands right now, someone's going to have to step up.
And I think you will see them use the depth of their pitching more this year than in the past. You know, they've got some kids that they like. I mean, you've seen Marinaccio and Sears come up, and Sears hasn't pitched yet, I don't think. Sorry. I saw them in spring training. But I think you're going to see, you know, a Clark Schmidt have to maybe step into a starting role at times. I think you're going to see Michael King have to start at times.
Yeah.
And then maybe some of the guys from the minor leagues are going to have to come up. Maybe Davey Garcia comes up again. He looks better this spring than he did last year. So there's that possibility.
Yeah. And you mentioned the window closing. I agree. I think it's been on its way down the last couple of years, just because you see the years of Stanton and Judge and Cole's primes, like, they're starting to dwindle. It's just every player, once you reach 30 and going into your mid-30s, it's like you're not going to be in your prime anymore. So last year they had a largely healthy season and weren't very good. So you're right. I don't think they can play it safe, which kind of brings us to the whole Judge talk and what I think was a distraction on opening day. The fact that they had to have a press conference announcing they did not get a contract extension done.
I don't think they had to have a press conference.
Well, no, I mean, they decided to hold one.
Yeah.
And I think it's clear why they decided to hold one. I think they're trying to control the narrative from their perspective. Is we offered him a fair market contract. He decided no. And then after the game, he has those comments like, oh, I'm going to talk to 30 teams. The Yankees will be one of them. Like, that's a cold statement.
Very cold.
I mean, where do we even begin with this, though? Like, I don't even want to talk about yet what it means for Judge's future, but, like, what took so long in spring training to even start these conversations? I just feel like they wasted time.
It's a very good question, and they don't have an answer for it. You know, nothing stopped them from talking to him before the lockout either, and they didn't. Right. They knew this was coming, so... I think you know where they stand from where the arbitration numbers are. You know, they value him at $17 million this year. He values himself a lot higher. I think we could have all just avoided that whole opening day thing when we realized that's pretty far apart for arbitration. So it was kind of like, yeah, they're not going to get a deal done.
He filed at 20, didn't he?
I thought it was 21, but I think it's pretty far apart. And
for an arbitration case, it's far apart, yeah.
And they, I mean, they filed lower than I think Juan Soto was offered, right? And he's a lot younger. I think they wanted to give him a good offer, and I think they kind of knew that this was going to be the outcome.
Do you think they gave him a good offer?
Oh, I thought it was a very good offer. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long I would go on an offer with him. I would give him more money than years.
I mean, yes, of course. I would too. Although with the way the Yankees have structured some contracts lately, it doesn't seem like they want to do that. Like, they offered LeMahieu 6 years with lower AAV when I was like, give him higher AAV for 4 years. That gives you more flexibility year to year. I mean, you're the Yankees. You can spend $270 million in a given year, and it's not going to crush you. I understand there's budgets and everything. I'm not naive to that, but let's be real here. Like, I understand they're spending $250 million, which is the highest payroll ever, but the allocation of that money is questionable. And then when you have longer term contracts like LeMahieu and Hicks and some other guys that are making decent money over a long period of time, yeah, you see why they don't want to go too far on Judge. But like, they dug themselves this hole.
I mean, they are handcuffed by some of these contracts that they have that they're never going to be able to unload. You know, if Cole doesn't have a good year, they're kind of stuck with that too, you know? I mean, I feel for Judge in a way, because I think he would like to be the highest paid Yankee. And in some ways he might deserve that for the next few years. Really? I mean, he is their most
annual value or total value. Cause he's not going to get 3.5 or whatever.
Annual value.
You'd have to beat 36 from Cole, right?
And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, in all honesty, he has been a more impactful player.
Yeah, I mean, this gets to the argument of like, what's more impactful, a position player or a pitcher?
I'm always going to go with a pitcher or a position player. So,
sure.
But, I mean, that, I wouldn't go that long into his 30s for that.
Well, if he's comparing himself to what he's looking at, the Mookie Betts deal, the Anthony Rendon deal, the Mike Trout deal, and his agents are saying, well, these guys are getting paid into their age 38, 39 seasons at $35, $36 million. I think that's what Judge should get. That's what they're saying. And the Yankees are pretty far apart on that. I didn't think they were even going to offer him 7 years, frankly. I thought they were going to offer him 6 years. And so once I saw it was a 7-year deal, I was like, okay, this is going to get done, because that seems like what he would get on the free agent market. So that's what they're going to give him. I think that gets it done. I don't see why they couldn't up the AAV, but it doesn't even seem like that would get it done. Even if they go to $37 million and he's the highest annual player at 7 years, he wants 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get that. So, I mean, you know, we're going to go to the free agency market, no doubt, at this point. And the most interesting thing to me is, where else is he going to get that money?
That's the question I ask for every big free agent, and then some team pays. And I'm just like...
But I agree.
But the Angels come out of nowhere and they spend, or the Mariners come out of nowhere and they spend.
Yeah.
It's like there's always a team that shouldn't be vying for these players that decide this is the year we're doing it.
And that's the same argument I had with someone last night. Yes, there probably will be a team that will do that. I don't think any other team will give him the length that might give him the money. But in all honesty, in a perfect world, the Yankees need Judge and Judge needs the Yankees to be Aaron Judge. So it's kind of like, just sit down and work it out.
Do you think there's a world, is there a scenario that the Yankees are not in it at the trade deadline and they move him?
I mean, they'd have to be really, really far
right
out of it.
Because
I mean,
the expanded playoffs basically make it so everyone's in it. But yeah. If they're, you know, 2, 3, 4 games below 500 at the deadline, struggling.
I don't think that'll be Cashman's biggest worry, no.
That's a good point.
I mean, it would be the smart move if they are that far out of it. The problem I see is, this team has taken such a defensive tone in the last year about their, you know, the way they make decisions, the money they spend, and all those kinds of things, that it's going to be a very hard PR knock for them to take.
It already was a little bit of a PR knock on opening day, because I think that if they could have had that decision that they weren't going to extend him, could have happened 12 days earlier, and instead it had to happen on technically what should have been the day after opening day, which is another thing that like people aren't even talking about. It's like, oh yeah, they waited until the rain out and then still the morning of to do all this stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, they kind of won that PR war. I mean, I heard boos for Judge last night. You know, I mean,
were they booing because of the contract or because he left more runners on base?
I think it's both. I mean, I don't often listen to the sports talk radio, but I've turned it on a few times in the last 2 days. He's getting crushed. You know, Cashman was on FAN just yesterday, you know, telling their side of the story. I don't think the Yankees have taken that big of a PR hit on that one.
Well, that's another reason why I think assuming he goes to free agency, I don't expect a deal to get done during the season, especially after everything Judge has said. But assuming he goes to free agency, I don't think the Yankees offer is going to change. And if he's a little bitter towards how the Yankees have sort of tried to spin the PR this year and he gets a comparable offer from another team, he might say, screw it, I'm leaving.
He might. And then at the same time, we don't even know what's going on with his family life. He just got married. Maybe his wife doesn't want to raise a family in New York. So we don't know what the factors will be in that situation.
No, but it usually just comes down to the biggest contract.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, pride sometimes gets in the way.
Yeah.
Especially in these situations.
I think it's been interesting how Boone has been rotating some guys into the lineup. I love that Stanton got in the field in game two. I think that's massive for this team, him playing the outfield. But how do you see all of these players getting adequate playing time, specifically in the infield with LeMahieu and Glaber?
Maybe I'm cynical, but I'm just assuming that there's going to be an injury at some point.
That's the cop-out answer. That's the cop-out answer.
It is a cop-out answer. I think you've seen the rotation already. He's very big on resting guys and making sure, you know, we're in a 10-game straight stretch, so everybody's going to get a day. Yeah,
they don't have an off day until next Monday.
Monday, yeah, in Detroit. So, I think you're going to see him rotate LeMahieu around third. I think you're going to see him get more time at third because they're going to want to make sure Donaldson stays healthy. And eventually it will work itself out. I mean, I know that's the cop-out answer, but after covering baseball for 10 years, it always does.
Yeah, and I think the most interesting is might not be the right word for it, but if IKF struggles and they don't know what's going on at shortstop, what do they do there? Do they try and go find a shortstop? Do they call someone up? Do they move Glaber back over there temporarily? Because that's, I think, that shortstop is the position that changes it all.
Agreed. And so far he has not looked great there. So I would think they would call somebody up, honestly. I think that would be their first move, to call up Peraza possibly and see what happens.
And I think so too, just because it was made such a big deal that Glaber's not a shortstop anymore, than to move him back there.
And he didn't use him there last night, so
that's different though. You know, moving Glaber over late in the game because you pinch hit or pinch ran is different than he's gonna start there 5 out of 7 days.
No, I mean he didn't start him there last night.
Didn't start him there. Correct. He did not start him there. No.
He used Marwin Gonzalez.
Gonzalez did.
He needed to get Marwin in, yes, but they could have slid Glaber over there for the night, and they're making a point not to. So,
which I'm okay with. If it gets Glaber's head right, that's the best thing for this team.
I'd like to see his swing right more than his head. His head is fine. It's a swing that I think needs to be.
I don't know. I've long thought that he gets in his own head. Obviously, this is just someone watching the games, but I see him, you know, make some lapses, especially last year in the field, that I thought he maybe got down on himself instead of just letting his talent play.
I think so. I had some talks with him this spring that I just really think his head is fine. I mean, he's really kind of fine with everything that's happened. I mean, he's 25 years old, so he seems to be dealing with it pretty well.
Right. That's the thing that people forget. It's like Judge was 25 when he got called up, and Glaber's already been in the league a bunch of years, and he's 25. He was one of the prospects that comes up at their early 20s, which, you know, was the players like Juan Soto and stuff. Whereas Judge was the prospect that took a lot longer to come along.
Well, he was a college guy too.
College guy too, yeah. All right, Christy. Well, I definitely appreciate the time. Is there anything else you think we should know about this team 4 games in?
I don't know about this team 4 games in. I guess I'm fascinated by how the offense will play out. I mean, yes, it's 4 games, but you know, if you look at their rankings, they're already in the middle of the pack. They should be a team that you would see at the top of the rankings. So let's, you know, they made a big deal about making changes there. Let's see how that goes.
All right. Thank you so much for the time. Make sure to go check out Christy on Twitter and follow along with all of her articles in the New York Daily News. Thanks again for coming on, Christy.
Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.